You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Hey up there, how's it going? I'm for those people listening on audio, I'm waving to the wide shot. It's just me in a wide shot. And there's a close-up of me if you're watching on YouTube. Another week. I finally went grocery shopping again. It was a good 10 days or more. I've been quarantined for 22 days now or something. All right, big deal. Just trying to keep safe. But today I did go to the grocery store. I wore a mask. And on the way home, I drove by a couple of friends' house. I stayed in the truck, was far away, and I just called them, said, step outside, wave to them. So I might send a video out there of just friends waving from 100 yards away. Just wanted some kind of, you know, I have some celebrity friends around here, some friends that aren't celebrities. And I just waved at them. I did a drive-by. What are you doing? Tweet me, Instagram me. What are you doing during the quarantine? Do you have a family? Are you alone like me? Are you playing some music? Or what kind of music are you listening to right now? I kind of sound like a DJ right now. 99.5 WKDQ. Hey, fans of Inside of You or first-time listeners, what are you listening to out there? Huh? What's getting you going? What are you eating? What are you cooking? Are you cooking out there? Make sure you exercise. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I find that when I do exercise, I feel a lot better. I try to fill my days up with things, you know, walks, playing with the dogs. It's funny how much better you feel when you just write down, from 1 to 2, I'll play with the dogs. From 2 to 3, I'll cut my finger open like I did. That's why I have a Band-Aid. Anyway. So, hey, we got a great episode. Those of you who didn't get a chance to listen to Nick Swartzen, boy, that was a good one. Very funny comedian. Hangs with, the Sandler gang. He's in all the Sandler movies. Really funny, funny guy. And if you haven't listened to him, make sure you watch it on YouTube or listen. And subscribe, please, to Inside of You on the YouTube. And, it's really helping. I'm trying to grow. And it's tough because people commuting, they're not commuting as much. People aren't working as much. So I appreciate the support. I appreciate my patrons out there. You know who you are. And I'll say your names, of course. Some of you out on the outro, the handles, all that stuff, Inside of You podcast on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and spread the word. You know, that's how it works. It's word of mouth. If you really are liking it, digging it, it's helping you. Got great guests. One of which today is this guy. You know, this is the second time he's come on. This is the first time we did the interview with, so you could watch it. You know, we film them now, and it's pretty great. Ryan Taez, my editor engineer, he really does such a superb job in the editing room and getting the goods. Rooker is a tough type. Tough type? Yeah, I said it. I've known him for a long time. He's a friend. A lot of great stories. It's hard to get him serious, but when he does, it's, you can see it. He's trying to hold back. But you know there's something there. There's a lot of history behind his eyes, and great actor, great intensity, just very forthcoming, honest, and I loved having him. So just a reminder before we go to Michael Rooker, I'm trying to do this live podcast with Zach Levi. That might not happen. I don't know. It's July 2nd at the North Door, back-to-back shows, July 2nd, Austin, Texas. Conventions, guys, we'll just see what happens down the road. You could always listen to Left on Laurel, the band, my band playing. You could listen to it for free all over streaming. Tell me what you think. The online store is still open. Didn't close. Online, Inside of You, online store. But seriously, tweet me, Instagram me. I'm doing a lot of these Instagram lives. So if you're listening and you haven't got a chance, it's great. It's kind of like a sing-along. People throw songs at me and I've never heard, or I know I've heard, but I've never played before. And I have a guitar and I look them up and I put chords and I just try to play it off the cuff. And sometimes it's shitty and sometimes it's great. And people are really digging it. I bring people on the video and the Instagram lives. It's fun. Also, if you're a really big fan of the podcast, join Patreon. If you want extra footage, bonus footage, questions with me, Inside of Me, videos to you, messages to you. Some tiers get merch. Packages every few months. You get to ask questions to the guests. It's a lot of fun. It's a community. I now do a YouTube Patreon. I did it last week, and boy, it was a success. We had a lot of fun. All my patrons got on there, and it was just us. So feel free to do that. And most importantly, forget everything I said if you want, and help your fellow human being by going, you know, supporting the Ronald McDonald House. I just did a dinner with my friend Daisy Ureño. She and I sponsored a dinner at the Ronald McDonald House for all the families. And if you don't know what Ronald McDonald House is, imagine, you know, these are children, kids, babies that are suffering from many different things, cancers, leukemias, just different things. And Ronald McDonald House, they house the families while their child is going through treatment. So it's a pretty amazing place. And they need your help. The families need food, and they're always looking for a sponsor of a dinner. You can get a dinner, I think, for $250. So if you have 25 friends, $10 each. I try to do as many as I can. Also, Echoes of Hope, Foster Youth is a great charity. And Food on Foot, the homeless are really suffering. You think it's tough being homeless before this. Like, it could be any tougher, and it just got tougher. So foodonfoot.org, ask for my friend Rob Danson. Tell him old Michael Rosenbaum sent you. Anyway, you know, it's always nice to help. It always feels good. You know, there was a great thing that happened. I'll say one more thing. On Instagram Live, I don't know if I told you this story, but I randomly select people, and I just go, and they come up on the video. And, you know, it's half a screen of the person, randoms, and me, and so I just said, oh, let's go with Megan Clifford. And she goes, hey, I was a Make-A-Wish kid. I was a Make-A-Wish kid, and I came on the set of Smallville 16 years ago. And she started telling me, you know, how it changed her life and how nice I was, how nice everyone was. And it was just an emotional thing. So I posted it on Instagram. It's a wonderful story amidst all the horror out there. But have hope, man. I think one of the things that gets annoying is how many people get these articles every day, right? We get these articles like, oh, check this out. They said that this is going to happen. Oh, look at this. Some guy's got a cure in Albuquerque. Oh, and it just goes on and on. It's so much that you're just like, and then you do it too. You find some morsel of hope that, hey, someone's going to have a cure. And I think they're working. I think they are getting close. And I think we should have hope, and it's good to have hope. And, you know, it's just important to just love each other, love the shit out of each other. And you know what? I love this guy, Michael Rooker, Walking Dead, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. I got to work with him. He's wonderful. He's intense. He's hilarious. You got to check him out. Let's get inside of Michael Rooker.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
I dig it.
So, now you're married.
Yeah.
You've been married for how long? She won't watch this, don't worry.
How long have I been married, man?
Ryan?
Ryan? Have you done some research?
I have. You want me to guess? Is this on me now?
Oh, jeez.
You've been married.
How long have you been married?
Well, you have a grandkid, so I'm guessing you probably have been married 38 years.
He already knew. What a chump.
No, I didn't know. Is that true?
Is that it?
Yeah, about that.
38 years, it's about right in that area.
Yeah.
Your wife probably, what's her name?
She doesn't like to be
talked about. Mrs. Rooker, is that safe to say?
That's right.
Mrs. Rooker, does she knows you so well that she probably just like, she doesn't even like, does she call you out on shit? You just seem like someone that I've known you a while. Yeah. I've seen you. You're fun. You're always spontaneous. You're always up to no good, but you got a big heart. But I'm just saying, someone who's married to you, something like
she doesn't call me out. I mean, on what, you know,
does she ever say you're
like, she thinks I'm crazy when I want to drive all the way across country.
That's what I was getting to
pick up a rifle.
Oh, a rifle.
Pick up a truck. To pick up a new bow.
Is this something you do? Is this something that you will go for? You'll take a flight somewhere or drive hours or to pick up something you like.
That's right. Well, I worked for UPS at one point in time.
Or how old were you when this happened? This was before Henry.
I know.
You're a good truck driver.
I drive. Yeah. I'm a good driver. I like driving. I can drive for many hours.
What is it about driving that you love so much? There's got to be something.
Yeah, I'm by myself.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I notice, like, when you go to these cons or when you're on set, everybody's like focused on you. You're full of energy, full of life.
Yeah, but when you got your downtime, you get your downtime. So driving was a nice break. Cool. Just chill out on your own. You know, stop when you want to stop. You know?
Where do you stop?
Truck stops.
Do you see a Hardee's? Does Hardee's still exist?
No. Yeah, the Hardee's. Dude, Hardee's is a big company. Yeah,
I think it became Carl's Jr., though.
They still exist.
No,
it did not.
I think it did, right?
Did it really?
No, I think they both exist as one. I think it's Hardee's, like, once you cross the middle of the country.
Part of that chain.
Yeah, right.
But when you say truck stops, you stop. What do you do at a truck stop? It's just you get some water, you stretch your legs.
Yeah. And then you stop at your hotel and just choose a hotel.
You don't look like you're not a fancy guy. You stay at, like, what? The Knights Inn?
Well, there's not a lot. There's not a lot on the
choices.
There's not a lot of choice on the
What are the choices?
There are more choices than you would think. La Quinta.
Well, La Quinta's a fancy place, isn't it? Sounds fancy.
Holiday Inn Express. Holiday Inn. Best Westerns. Turn the light on, you know.
What's that one? Motel 6.
Motel 6.
We'll leave the light on for you.
No, baby, Motel 6. Turn the light on.
Do you try to save a buck? Because you're a guy who has a lot of money. You've been working in the industry a long time.
I always try to save a buck.
Well, obviously, you went to Wisconsin. Yeah. You just flew to Wisconsin to save 10 grand on a beautiful truck, which is parked. Filling up three driveways outside.
Pretty much.
It's a huge truck.
It is huge. It's you know, well, I have an Airstream, so I'm going to tow this Airstream. And the Airstream is an old-style Airstream that's all...
The silver roundish
all
ones.
All decked out now, all buffed down. It's beautiful, and it's looking new, and it's very cool. And if I'm if I ever have it towed, or if it's ever towed... It's going to be by me.
No,
because I'm tired of other people breaking my shit. Okay.
Who breaks your shit?
All the Teamsters when they drive my trailer to and from sets.
But that's not your trailer.
No, that's my trailer. They rented my trailer.
Oh, so they pay you to use your Airstream.
That's right.
And so these Teamsters on whether it's Guardians of the Galaxy, Suicide Squad.
It doesn't matter. I'm not pointing anyone out.
Whatever it is.
Several movies that I've done in the past. I've had this thing for 28 years.
They don't take care of it.
Well, they try to take care of it, but sometimes crap falls off the back of the truck, hits the, you know.
It's two in the morning, people are tired.
I got to get it fixed. Almost every movie that I took it on, I had to get it fixed.
Do you make the studio pay for it?
Well, they pay for it. They don't argue about that, you know.
Okay,
so
you broke this.
It's insured and all that stuff.
Now, what's the first thing you do when you're on set? Do you go, who's the head of Transpo here? Al, come here for a second.
Don't scratch my stuff.
I picture you making a point. You go, Al, this is my Airstream. I know you're going to say you're going to take care of, but in the past... This thing's gotten effed up. So I'm asking you to take extra precaution.
I do.
Is it getting better?
And they will, and they do, you know, but accidents happen.
So you're expecting this Airstream to get fucked up usually. But when you tow it, it's fine.
When I tow it, it's going to get totaled probably.
When you tow it, I can see that. Now, you go camping.
I've towed it before in a truck that was... way less truck than I needed to tow it.
Right. On,
and it was not fun. So this time when I bought a truck, that's, you know, it's enough truck. It's enough truck. It's built to tow that and pull that with no problem.
Does Mrs. Rooker go with you on any trips to camp? You camp, right?
Sometimes.
She'll camp with you.
No, this was only for business.
Right, for business. But what do you go camping?
I never use it for camping.
So for camping, what do you do? You just rent a tent. You buy a tent.
Yeah. But I would take this now.
To the woods, park it.
Someplace, yeah.
Are you someone who could, like, if you're left in a jungle or left in the woods for like a week, you could get by?
If I were left in the woods for a week.
You know, like these shows they have Naked and Afraid. Obviously, you wouldn't be naked.
Well, Naked and Afraid is not my show.
But, no.
What's the other one? Survival.
Survival of the fittest.
Survival.
Survivor. Right. Could you do that if you were on a show?
With the blonde hair and the... He's got the knife on his...
I think that's the Beastmaster.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. But do you remember the Beastmaster? That was a good movie.
I like those shows. You know, they're smart shows.
Do you think you could do it, though? Do you look at them and go, I could fucking do that. These idiots, I could do that.
Well, yeah, I played. I lived in the woods all my life, practically.
Where did you live again? Not in Georgia. Alabama.
Yeah.
So you
about half my life, Alabama. The rest was in Chicago.
You can start a fire right away?
I could start a fire.
How would you do it if you didn't have a lighter?
If you didn't have a lighter, yeah. You would be prepared. Okay, first off, you would be prepared. If you ever found yourself unprepared, then you're in trouble.
And it, you could,
It's still possible. You know, it's still possible with friction. And if you have cord, take your shoelaces off, you tie the little thing on the thing with this, the stick, and you rub it until friction happens, and you have dry, good stuff, you know, from bark or something under some other
cedar.
Under some kind of underbrush that's dry. Hopefully it's not raining. You're in big trouble if it
do?
Is.
Yeah, fuck that.
And even with that, you can still find stuff.
I would love to see a show called Camping with Rooker. You just out there with other idiot celebrities, but you know how to survive.
Out there with nothing.
Could you imagine you're out there with me trying to show me how to do shit?
Merle Dixon was, that was like my home away from home character. Merle Dixon could do anything in the woods, survive, find food, whatever he needed to do, shelter of some kind. And that's kind of basically what I could do.
You can do those things.
I can do those
now,
things.
It's funny you bring up that. I wasn't going to bring this up, but it was all over the place. And I know you
can. But
yeah, go ahead.
It's all about being prepared.
Yeah.
So if you if you go into the woods without a pistol.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
A pistol.
A rifle, pistol.
Whatever.
Knife, a bow.
Something to protect yourself.
Well, not necessarily to protect yourself, but if you need to hunt or something like that, you can. But it's also for, you know, we're not head of the food chain out there, Bo.
Right.
You know, in case you didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah, we could get eaten.
Oh, sure.
Easily.
Have you ever been attacked by an animal?
I was attacked by a terrier once.
A dog.
A dog, yeah.
Yeah, like a vicious dog?
It bit my thigh.
Did you have to take care of the dog?
I chased it 2 blocks while its owner was chasing me, yelling, don't kill my dog.
He bit you good. You're bleeding?
He bit me. I'm bleeding.
And, did you have to go to the doctor right away? You're like, hey, I could have something here.
Nah. His dog, I knew the dog and I knew him.
Did he calm you down?
No, I calmed myself down because I got exhausted. The dog ran all the way home. I'm not going to chase it all the way home.
Now, with you, do you feel like, so this dog bit you. You seem like a guy that, you know, you're calm, you're cool, you're whatever.
I was.
But if something happens, snap.
I was still calm.
You can snap, though, can't you?
I was still calm. I was still very cool. When the dog bit me, he jumped up, bit me.
Right in the groin area. Leg.
Yeah, dude. Landed on the ground, looked up at me again. I looked down at it. I didn't say anything. And it took off.
It knew.
It read my mind.
Fear.
It knew.
Fight or flight.
He saw in my eyes, he smelled my intention was to take it and smash it upside the building somewhere, you know.
Yeah. You're going to bite me. This is what's going to happen.
But it ran away, and I'm glad it did because it's a cute little dog.
Right.
I didn't know. I really wouldn't want to hurt the dog.
Now, see, what I'm thinking is when people watch, you know, these movies and sometimes.
Listen, what are we talking about? What have we talked about so far?
Your truck.
Trucks.
Being alone.
Being in the woods.
Being
animals.
Alone.
But,
woods.
But aren't you happy
dogs,
about that?
Biting dogs.
Well, look. What I'm thinking is, like, you have a temper. You're like one of those guys. Can you really have, you can lose your shit, right? But can you lose your shit now? Because I know you meditate. You do all this shit.
I can get upset, but.
You really have control?
Sort of a controlled upset.
Can you get out of control?
Sometimes I get upset just for the show.
So you're just pretend angry?
At times.
So you're just saying, I want people to think I'm crazy, but I'm really in control of what I'm doing
right
now.
Well, I don't think that much about it, but I'm a very forgiving person.
Right.
You know, if you do something to me and you're really sorry, I won't hurt you.
What if I bite your leg?
I would bite you back.
You probably would.
I would have bit the dog back.
You would have.
Yeah. I would have picked him up and bit his little nose.
So how does that feel? I like that you go after the nose, not the cheek or the tail. I'm going to bite his little nose.
No, I eyeball him, pick him up, put his little face in my face, and I go, what do you think about this?
Hey, let me ask a question. All right. So you go back to Merle because you were talking about Merle and how he would survive. Ryan loves this. There was posts everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, everything.
About what?
It said Merle, the reason Merle didn't come back or whatever, AMC is cheap. That was everywhere.
Yes, it was. Wasn't that great?
And you love it.
That was great.
Were they cheap?
Of course they were cheap. Come on, give me a break. Are you serious? Nobody got any money those first 3-4 seasons.
And you busted your ass.
You know, and we killed it, dude. We worked our asses off and we made that series, okay? But nobody got any money. I mean, we got paid really basic salaries. But of course, you know, the show becomes popular and then, you know, they start paying people after that. But I don't blame them. I'd do the same thing. Why would I want to pay top dollar on a show that's not proven? And, you know, and if I could get really good actors to do this for less money, go for
but
it.
But after it becomes a...
You know, that's my producer brain thinking.
But after
you know,
it becomes a bona fide hit, aren't you thinking, you know, I deserve a little more money now?
Well, yeah, of course you do. And they do. They get more money now.
Right, but you could...
Not the beginning ones.
Right.
Not the new guys.
But the new guys.
Norman and all those guys get plenty of money.
Right.
Yeah.
But you were
kind of... they deserve it. They deserve it. Dude, everybody gets hurt on that show. You know, we're running through woods, jumping over logs, dodging rattlesnakes. I mean, come on.
Got hurt?
Everything.
What did you feel? What was the worst day where you're like, I hurt myself here?
I never hurt myself on the show.
Are you smart enough to go, stunt man, I'm not doing that shit?
Oh, no, I get the stunt guy.
But always.
We didn't really have any stunt guys at that time. We did everything ourselves. We did all the fighting, all the rolling around in the mud and dirt and the blood and the beer and everything, and we did it all ourselves.
Who'd you get along with the most on Walking Dead? Honestly, the one guy you're like, I like to see him. I like to talk to him. He's fun. Or her.
You know, me and Norman got along just fine. And we liked hanging out and talking. You're so busy. You really don't, unless you make a superhuman effort to hang out.
Right.
You don't hang out. You go home, you go to your hotel and you sleep. You're exhausted. Norman would go home without cleaning up and taking makeup off.
So you just stink?
You're so tired, dude. You just, you quit. They wrap you. You don't even want to take the 30 minutes or whatever it takes to get cleaned up. You just hop on your bike and you go and you shower when you get home.
Did you notice anybody who
did that many times?
That kind of played the part who just like, was like, it kind of actually stinks like his character would.
You know, I think we all probably were.
Especially those hot days in Atlanta, right?
Dude, it's hot and it's sweaty. There's not much you can do about it.
Were you exhausted? You know? You think you're going to pass out? Like, I'm tired.
No. I never felt that on that show at all. I even on the rooftop when it was 115, other people are getting weak and passing out, I was just sitting
there.
Who
was passing out?
A couple of the actors.
Oh, you're not on the show anymore.
No, a couple of the actors.
Guys, girls, both?
Yeah.
Passing out, like get him some water, get a paramedic here.
Getting weak, yeah, almost passing out.
And you were like, holy shit, people are passing out.
Yeah, dude, I kept drinking, I kept hydrating, but that doesn't help sometimes.
What, water?
For example, I just did a movie in Fiji, Fantasy Island.
I heard about that. It's a Bloom?
Yeah.
Bloomhouse?
Yep.
Is it good?
I just saw it. It's good.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
And my first 2-3 days on that show were the hardest, most dangerous working days I had ever ever done on any show ever.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? I saw that. I was just rewatching Sea of Love with your scene with Pacino, where you're fighting, and that scene is the most intense scene that goes on.
Oh,
harder
yeah.
than that?
Oh, harder than that. I had never felt as though I think I'm going to pass out. And that happened on Fantasy Island. My first 2 days, I'm fighting this guy that's like 7 foot tall, probably 280 pounds. And we're rolling around in the dirt and the gravel on the top of a mountain. There's no air conditioning.
How hot is it?
And I don't like to eat and snack like a lot of other actors will
do. You need that though, don't you?
But that's my mistake. You do need it because I was depleting all of my electrolytes. I was sweating. I was drinking plenty of water, but the doctor, when he got there, was saying, look, what's going on is that you've depleted your electrolytes. Now you're drinking a lot of water. You've been drinking a lot of water, but all you're doing is you are basically
exhausting your dehydrating.
You're hydrating yourself, but you are diluting the electrolytes that you still have left. So what I needed to do, even more than drink water, was to have some sort of drink with electrolytes. And that's basically what happened.
And that helped?
Yeah, yeah. He gave me some powdered electrolytes. I took two of those guys, half a bottle each, and within 20 minutes, I felt great.
Were you worried, though, like, oh, my God, am I getting old? Is something happening to me? Am I going to have a heart attack?
I was like, honestly, in between takes, I would just drop to the ground. I was on the ground. People had umbrellas over me. I mean,
yeah, you didn't know, and it happened quickly.
It happened. It was like there was no stopping. We were working all day long in this heat, and I had heat exhaustion, heat stroke once.
Where?
And it was in Wisconsin. Actually, I had heat. I had heat stroke once.
Oh,
not this on this show, but I knew it was coming. Because I'd had it before, and I knew, wow, if we keep going like this, something's going to happen.
What happens when you get heat stroke?
Oh, I was standing next to my motorcycle, and the next moment, I'm watching my feet being dragged into the shade.
Passed out.
I totally passed out, yeah. Totally passed out. I was out
to the hospital?
Out like a light. Next thing I knew, I felt this weight on my chest, and somebody had dumped the cooler on my chest to cool my body down. And I felt fine after about an hour or so. But after that, it took me about a year and a half or so to get for my body to recoup and get and feel okay in the sun. It's tough. It's a really bad situation. Yeah. So that I felt in doing the Fiji show, that was really hard.
Now I'm going to see it. Yeah, just to see what you were doing. What if they cut it? Did they cut it all? And it's just like one thrown, like, that's it?
Yeah.
He had a heat stroke from that shit. Just got thrown down once. And that was his double.
It was Hooker nuts. Rooker. It was nuts. So after that, though, I learned my lesson. Snack a little bit.
Snack. What kind of snacks?
You know.
Nuts.
It can be nuts. Cheese, something.
Snacking some nuts.
Fruit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like
that.
Take
care of yourself a little.
It's just anything
right.
That has some sugar, some, you know, electrolytes, and drink. Of course, hydrate.
Right.
But don't overhydrate.
You're educating people out there. They
don't know. Dude, I mean.
That's serious.
I'm telling you, I've done so many movies, and I never get hurt, and I just keep going and going and going. There's no, I'm like the
you're a machine.
Yeah.
And you don't get anxiety.
I don't get anxiety. I don't get tired.
Never. One of the few actors that have come on here and said, yeah, just don't get anxiety. You really have never been, oh, fuck, I'm anxious. I'm nervous about something. I can't fucking get it. I don't
know. You get that? I don't get that.
You don't give a fuck.
No, I don't
you
care.
You really don't ever care.
No, this is true.
No matter what. You never get embarrassed. Other people on the set, and they're like, oh, Rooker doesn't know his lines. No, you don't go, fuck.
Oh, my lines? No, I don't care about knowing my lines.
You really don't? I mean, you usually know them. But
usually you know your lines. You know your stuff. So if you go up or down or inside out, in between lines, you're changing them, you're fixing them usually. But sometimes, like when you work a gun, you don't need to fix anything.
It's just what the script says is.
It's great stuff.
So you learn it way ahead of time, right?
You want to do it because it's so well bloody written. You want to do it the way it's written.
Do you?
Most scripts, and you can tell me if I'm over-exaggerating, but 90% of all scripts, you want to change it. It's got to be changed because it sucks.
And by the way, that's the hardest to memorize lines when they're, and I always talk
when
about
they're
people,
constantly changing.
People are always talking about memorizing. It's the, you told me something once where it's like, Didn't you have to read your lines or have this because they gave you a monologue or some shit? Like,
oh no, I did this year, this past year, a TV show, with Mahershala Ali.
Oh, you did? Don't say it. Detective.
True Detective.
True Detective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I had 2 days to learn a 9-page walk and talk. Obviously. That ain't happening. I mean, even for the best of us, that ain't happening.
I'd probably turn that down. Scare the shit out of me. No, you know I'm not what? Doing that. Why are you doing that?
I know. I should have turned it down. But my friend, Sackheim, was directing it. And he said, you come and do it. And I said, okay. And I said, okay. I do a lot of things for friends that sometimes I shouldn't. But I should have said, dude.
Like this podcast,
not
for
enough,
one.
Not enough time. Well, exactly this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You know. You're not having fun here.
So I get there. And it's ridiculous. And we talk and I say, this ain't happening. Come on. How's this possible?
What did
this
he say to you?
Look, this is going to take this. Look, we got to do this in one day. Give me a break.
Nine pages
in one day.
Walk and talk a lot of it.
Most of it. And he said, well, we have this actor that does a lot of the voiceover stuff for us. And he uses an ear. And
that's what I want to do.
He uses an inner ear. And he said, would you like to try that? I said, I've never done it. I've heard about it, of course. And he said, would you like to try it? I said, there's no other choice, dude. Let's just do it. I got with the script lady.
And you weren't nervous at all?
No, I wasn't nervous. It was a challenge. So I don't get... It was a great challenge.
It was like, all right, well,
let's see how it works. So I got with the lady, and she has an accent. So I'm like, oh, great. Oh, so she's going to be the reader.
And right, let me set it up.
Okay.
So an earwig is pretty much, he has a piece in his ear, if you don't know. If you're an actor, you probably know it. But you have an earwig. Brando used one. I think Robert Downey Jr. might use it every once in a while. And I want to use it. And Rooker used one. So they put it in your ear, and then someone reads. Usually you've rehearsed it in the sense that they know your cadence, they read you the lines, how you want to deliver them. So he was sort of on the fly, and now she's delivering them off camera on a little microphone that's transferring the information and hearing her voice.
Through Bluetooth. There are no wires
Bluetooth,
involved.
Bluetooth, right. No wires,
and
right.
You don't, especially if you have long hair, you don't ever see it. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. So that's the setup. So we got there. We rehearsed about an hour and a half. And then we started shooting.
Hour and a half of you with the earwig?
Yeah, me and her on our own.
Did it feel like it was getting there?
Well, you know what? It worked great. I realized as soon as we started doing it that I had been doing this all my life. I don't have the luxury of having a person with me all the time working and running lines. So I use a tape recorder to get the basics of my lines.
Right.
All right. And it's just repetition over and over and over and over, driving across country to your set. By the time you get to the set, you know your lines.
Listening to them. So what you do is you put it, it's like Rooker, you might go, I don't give a shit what you tell me, I'm doing this. And then there's a little blank area of the other guy's line and then your next line or whatever, however you want to do it. Right.
I do it two or three different ways. I do the entire script, both sides.
Both lines.
Yeah.
Your line, their line.
And then I do a version that has that person's lines.
And nothing.
Not my lines.
So you just hear them go, right. I don't care about that. And then so you could say, go fuck yourself.
I say my lines to myself. So I get the right timing for the break, for the quiet break.
Right.
And then that's how I do it. And that's how I start out with both lines. It depends on how long I've been with the script. Sometimes it's like 2 days. You get the script, you got to be on set in 4 days.
Right.
And stuff like that. So that's what I had been doing all my life. So when I got with the script girl for True Detective, it was like I'd been doing it forever.
Well, not only that.
Fucking
But this is forever. Better because you don't really imagine going on set going, I know what's happening. I just need somebody to say the lines to me and then I say them. So for instance, let me be the girl with an accent.
Okay, you be the girl with the accent and I'll do it. Let's do it. Okay, you go ahead. Go ahead and say whatever you want to say.
All right, for instance. All right,
for instance, what?
I don't care what you talk about.
I don't care what you give a fuck.
This is the reality.
This is the reality.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck.
I've said this again.
I said this a million
times.
One more
time.
One more time,
asshole.
I don't
give a fuck.
I don't give two fucks.
You can listen to my fucking dick in your fucking ear.
I'm going to say D-I-C-K, but I'm not going to say
see that?
But see, that's how it's done.
Do me. See if I can do it.
What do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do?
You're late.
You're late.
You're late.
You're late.
It's too late.
It's too late.
It's got to be almost right on top of
it. It's got to be almost right on top of it.
Now you're getting
there. That's how you do it, man.
That's it.
That's it.
And then you add your own little things in there. They do the reading. You do the acting.
Now what do you do if there's other actors around?
It doesn't matter.
So if everybody they're on cue.
As long as they know their lines.
But so your person's got to be listening for their lines to be on cue to give you the line.
Well, of course. Yeah, that's how it's done.
And what do you do, though? You go... So let's say fucking Ryan says a line, then I say a line. There's nothing from you. And you're like, hey, it's not my fault. It's the person saying my lines. They didn't get.
No, I don't do that. But when I was there, I had no other choice. And so we ended up. Dude, we ended up. You've seen the scene.
Yeah.
It's a killer scene.
Killer scene.
There's no
way. I never would have thought that.
No way in hell you could tell. And it
never.
Was. And it was. It as an actor, it gave me more freedom to respond in a more in an even more spontaneous manner.
So why don't you do that? So why don't you do it again forever?
I would do it again many times.
Any role?
I would do it again anytime.
So but why don't you just say every movie you get, look, I love doing this. So just have someone that can read me the lines.
Well, that's great. I would do that. You want to hire me?
I mean, look,
a movie. Let's do a movie again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do the whole
you
movie.
Hire an, well, you can hire an assistant.
What if all the actors have their
own
could
earwig
you imagine
person?
How confusing that would be? That would be crazy. That would be so crazy.
You know what's funny is, you know, if there's
no, I would do that again. I would do it again.
Especially if it's a 9-page thing or
what?
Even a 2-page
guess what?
Thing.
Saved my ass. Saved the production's ass. Saved time. We got through the entire 9 pages without one flub.
Were you like amazed by it?
It was
a gift from God.
It was, you know what it ends up being? Honest to God, it is one of the most wonderful tools in your tool chest that you could ever have.
Yeah.
That sometimes you have to draw upon. And sometimes you don't. Depends on how much time these producers and studios give you as an actor. So now, when someone says, hey, can you do this? And you're thinking, oh my God, no, there's too much material, not enough time. What am I? No, I'm not that stupid. And you can just say, yeah, no problem.
You lose stress?
Now you can.
By the way, you wake up and go,
there's no stress whatsoever.
I don't have to fucking memorize my lines all night.
There's no stress.
I could go out. And you're spontaneous.
And
if you're given these lines, it's real.
And you're even more spontaneous than trying to memorize shit
right.
in your head.
Because you're thinking it's contrived.
Right?
So what if, for instance, I'm going to do it one more time. What if you're a little angry? It's emotional. And you have to really listen to it.
Like,
you know, shout. It's like, yeah. I don't give a fuck what you're talking to me about.
I don't want the person to do it that way.
You don't.
No, I want the person to read.
I don't give a fuck what you say.
Not even that.
I don't give a fuck what you say.
Yeah.
And then you do the emotion.
Yeah. If you just do it normal, just normal.
All right.
Okay, ready? Go ahead.
I don't give a fuck what you say.
I don't give a fuck what you say.
You're a piece of shit.
Fucking prick. So, there you go.
What if you have your hard of hearing?
Then you got a problem.
I can't hear you. Can you turn it louder?
That happens.
Sorry. Have you done that?
That happened.
Yeah,
oh, no, it happened on True Detective. I would adjust the sound.
While you're in the scene.
But if it's too loud, then you get feedback from the other mic that are close to you or are close to the other actor. You're going to get a technical, some sort of feedback, and it's not good.
And the director loved what you did.
Everybody
great.
Loved what I did.
So they were like, and everybody knew? He's going to wear a wig.
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew?
No, on the set? Yeah, no, people
know. Who cares?
People
know. Who gives a shit?
But people who saw it had no not even an inkling.
Isn't that the key?
And they loved it.
Isn't that the key?
I got so many kudos.
Yeah, you were. I texted you about it.
Kudos from that scene, from that show, and I'm telling you, and I, you know, I don't see it as
a crutch.
As a crutch whatsoever. I see it as a an amazing tool that I got to experience, and it worked.
I think I would do.
Wouldn't you like to try it once?
Try it.
Yeah.
I want to live it. No. If I could, honestly, like, hey, you're shooting a movie next week. We want you to come and do this scene. It's three.
Dude.
Greg, give me an earwig.
I could do the whole movie. You give me.
I don't even need to prepare.
I don't. No, there's.
You got to prepare. I know, of course. You got to know what happens.
Well, you got to know everything that you already do in your preparation as an actor.
Yeah.
You still must do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Albeit. When you only have 2 days, there's not much you can do. You know, you just have to be, your instincts have to sort of take over. And that's, you know, as an actor, as a human being who knows how to read and comprehend and understand what's written, you're going to get the idea.
Absolutely.
Okay. It should, unless it's some other really seriously multi-layered dimensional script that.
Yeah.
And why would they want you? Why would they put you in a 2 day situation like that?
Right.
So it was a 2 day situation.
I mean, how could they, by the way, look at Michael Rooker and think he could learn 9 pages in 2 days?
I know.
I'm not looking at you saying you couldn't do it, but
I know.
Or any actor.
I know.
Not just Rooker. Anybody. Who could say, yeah, I could deliver 9 pages to you?
It's just
those people are brilliant. The people that can do that, that's one of those rarities that you just go, wow, you're fucking.
I don't know. You know what? But then that calls into question their internal preparation. They're just repeating. They're just like
they just have to memorize the lines.
Yeah,
I just have to memorize
memorizing and spitting them out. This is better than that. You're not memorizing lines and spitting them out on set. You know, you are taking the line into your brain, and your brain is giving you an interpretation instantaneous, and you are. That's what I said to the reader. I said, look, you read, I act. That's all we have to do, and we'll get through this.
Did she try it at first? Like, don't do this.
Look, it's really hard for the readers, I think, because they tend to want to help so much that they try to help. You don't want them to help.
Right.
The only help that they need to do is just to read it and read it in a natural cadence and normal.
What if you're taking a long beat? What if you're like this? She says
they have to know what you're doing. They have to be in visual contact. It's really nice when they're in visual contact, but when they're not, they have to. You will have to had rehearsed enough for them to know when you're going to slow down.
Right.
And because they can, you know.
So Sally, it's like this, Sally. So after he says, "I'm gonna kill you."
I generally tell them.
Wait 10 seconds.
I'm going to take a beat here. This has to have its own moment. Okay. And you'll understand when I begin again. So
it'd be really funny if she goes, I know he takes a moment and then she forgets because her phone, she's like, and all of a sudden you're waiting there for 2 minutes. She's like, oh shit.
No.
Oh shit.
There are people.
No, not shit. That wasn't the line.
There are people who do this professionally. And they know it's a very concentrated energy and effort, especially if there's long monologues involved. If there are scenes like I had, like a bloody 9-page walk and talk, ended up being more like a 4 or 5 page,
right.
Maybe a 4-page walk and talk.
Yeah.
And then the rest was on that ledge. It was a great scene.
I love
it. And it came out really good.
It was great.
I was actually very proud of myself.
Season 3,
that we made it.
True Detective,
that
right?
We did it.
Inside of You is brought to you by CBDMD. Guys, you know that I've got tons of this stuff at my house. I can't leave the house right now. You got to stay active. And what does that mean? You work out at home. You can't go to your physical therapist. You can't go to your knee doctor, your toe doctor. My friend Annie hurt her toe. I'm not making fun of her. I'm not mocking her. But she can't walk around. So what does she do? She goes, Michael, can you send some of that CBDMD over to Deneen? Her name's Deneen. And I do. CBDMD have powerful duo topical products to make exercise more comfy and help you get yourself back on track. CBD Freeze with menthol, an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. I've got both of them. CBD Recover, Combine CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. We're all struggling a little bit. It's important to feel good. CBD MD really helps me with that. I use it every day. I've got flare-ups constantly. I've had neck surgeries and back surgeries, and I'm 47 years old, so this stuff is just perfect for me. And it's perfect for anybody who suffers from all sorts of pains, injuries. Try it. If you don't like it, you can tweet me and say you're a piece of crap, but I know you won't. So feel your best, folks. CBDMD is offering my listeners 25% off when you use the code IOU at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code IOU for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. You know, Sean Gunn, a good friend of both of ours, he was on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, you know, you guys worked together in Guardians, I think Suicide Squad, whatever. He says, I loved your interview with Rooker the first time because he got real. He got a little, you know, not emotional, but like, and I was like, really?
I did, huh?
He went on about it.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Do you get, now, I know you have a grandkid. How many grandkids?
Yeah, I got two girls.
Did you cry when they were born?
No.
Out of happiness? No. Like it's the worst question ever. Why would I cry?
Yeah, crying? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, your wife, Mrs. Rooker, has seen you, Mr. Rooker, emotional. Have you ever been emotional?
Crying?
Are you a crier?
No, I don't cry.
You don't cry.
Why? Why should I cry?
I know you were a tough kid growing up. You had a lot
There's
of
no
shit going on.
There's no crying here.
There's no crying.
We don't do no crying. Yeah. What's the matter with you?
Do you say that to your grandkids? We don't cry.
Hey, stop the crying.
I bet you're a lovable
Knock
little...
Off. Knock
Come
it off
on.
There. Hey, no crying.
What makes Rooker's heart just open? What makes his heart just, he just completely melts? What
I
is
have
it?
None. I don't have a heart.
Bullshit.
My heart
There's
don't
something.
Melt.
There's something. There is.
No.
There's something inside you that when something happens, you melt. It's one thing
Does
or
that
two things.
What happens to you?
Well, there's certain things when I, you know, when I don't know. Sometimes if I do charity work or whatever, if I have a connection or someone, I could cry. I could open up a little bit. Yeah.
Me?
Not easily. It's come out more. You know you do. He's fucking with me. He's fucking with me.
Oh, my God.
What is it, though, Rook? What is it?
It's everything. It's life.
So it happens out of the blue?
It doesn't matter. It happens whenever it happens.
What's the last time it happened? You're driving from Wisconsin in your new truck, and you're like, God damn it.
I cry during love scenes, you know?
What scenes?
Well, whatever scenes. When I'm watching a movie and
movie?
If something's emotional.
Like what?
I blend in with the actors, and I'm there, and I see it, and it's emotional. And especially if they're doing a good job, the actors.
I saw you in the premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when Yondu dies.
Yeah.
And I looked over. You were like in the row in front of me because you were one of the stars and I had a small role. But I looked over and you were just, you had tears in your eyes.
I did.
You did. I remember. You remember? Obviously, you didn't know I was looking at you. I just kind of looked over because I thought it was a great moment. And I looked at you to see how you were responding to your performance of Yondu dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could see you were emotional.
Yeah. There were no tears, though.
I didn't see tears. I was a little far away.
Was,
there were no tears?
Yeah, I had just had some onions, you know.
What was going through your mind when that happened? Like, this has been such
classic
a...
movie snack of onions? Is that what it was?
Onions and nachos?
I was just having a few onions.
Well, what was going through your head when Yondu dies?
You know, I wasn't really thinking too much about that when Yondu dies. I wasn't thinking about when Yondu dies. I'm Yondu in the scene, so I'm not thinking about I'm dying or anything.
Well, what
like
I was
that.
Thinking of were you thinking, hey, this is really the end of Guardians for me.
So no, I wasn't thinking that at all.
What were you thinking? Just watching
I
the movie?
I wasn't thinking anything.
You just like this actor's great.
I was just doing the scene.
That was it.
Yeah.
No, I meant when you're watching Yondu.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You're watching the scene, you're watching Yondu.
So you're just watching the movie.
Yeah.
You were able to step outside and just watch yourself as an actor. Play this blue character.
Yeah. Although I'm a little bit, when I watch scenes and things that I'm doing, I'm always wondering, I don't know if I could do that better.
I did it as great as I could.
That was as great as I could possibly be great at. You know,
That's a great feeling. You know, because I normally go, "Wow, I could have been better."
Sometimes, I have encountered times when I go, that needed to have this instead.
Or you didn't get it. You didn't quite get it.
No, I never do anything ever that I don't get.
Right.
I got to get it or why do it? Okay. I can't do that. If I got to believe it or I don't want to do it. So I got to take the moment, take the time, take whatever I need to take.
Right.
To understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. For example, you have a glass of water, yeah?
Yeah.
And you're putting a drop in that glass of water, and it's filling up to the brim. I don't say anything. I don't want to say anything until that water is spilling over. That's your line. That's your voice. As the water spills over, that's when you speak. You don't speak before. You don't. That's why I don't like to rehearse either.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
You don't
want
to feel phony. It loses its luster.
Until it's ready to go.
Do you hate it? You hate rehearsing?
I rehearse at a certain level and that's it.
Hey, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be saying this. And now that's it. Let's move on.
Well, yeah. Otherwise.
Does Gunn make you kind of talk it out? And
I don't want to talk stuff out that much.
I'll talk with him,
but I don't want to talk with the other actors.
I'd rather you guide me while we're doing it than to just get it all out now. And then you're like, oh, this is what he's going to do. Or this is what I'm going
to
do.
It'd be nice to not know what I'm going to do.
Right.
I don't want to know what I'm going to do. I don't want to know what you're going to do. I try my best to not know your lines. I don't even want to know my lines. I want my lines to be as fresh to me as they are to you when you hear them. So if I can do that, that satisfies me.
Yeah.
You know, as an actor, as an artist, I want it to be as spontaneous and fresh as possible. And sometimes it's really hard to do that. It's really hard to get that approach is, I don't know if, I don't know what you're, is that, you kind of do the same thing or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like to rehearse. Especially comedy. I don't like to rehearse comedy.
Yeah.
I just feel like you're going to lose it. Be spontaneous. Well, comedy's
not much different than, you know, pretty straight drama.
And it's hard when other actors want to rehearse. I need to rehearse. This is how I want to do it. And then you have to sort of go, okay, fuck, I don't want to be a dick, but like, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm not going to give it to you.
I don't mind rehearsing in the early stages of just learning lines.
Right.
That's what you do anyway. But I'd rather not know how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
It sort of defeats that whole purpose of being fresh with me.
Yeah.
What you're going to say, I don't know what you're going to say. I don't want to know what you're going to say.
But what if I have a line and you cut me off because you don't know what I'm going to say? I'm like, no, I have a fucking other line, dude.
It happens.
So what do you do?
Go with it. Stop being such a whiny wimp.
So for instance, I go.
Go with it.
Yondu.
And then at the end of the take, you can go back over and you go, oh, I missed that line. But don't stop the take while it's going.
So you ever had an actor say, hey,
those mistakes can be a lot of fun.
But have you ever had an actor say that?
Oh, I've had actors stop. I've seen actors stop.
Does it bother
with
you?
Me not being in the scene, but I've seen actors stop because of somebody messes up. But those mess ups can be completely golden. They can yield such precious jewels that you can't even imagine coming out of your mouths, out of the other actor's mouth and your mouth as well. It can change the whole scene. But so what? they can either keep it or throw it out. Go back and you can do the lines. You can do it the way it's written if you want.
Right.
You know, of course you can. This was just a little flub mistake, but I don't like stopping unless you're
just fucking it up. Yeah. Mauling.
Yeah. Unless you're like completely off base. Yeah, wrong. Yeah.
Hey, you're in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you done filming?
I'm done filming.
Was it enjoyable?
It was great.
I've never seen James so laid back. When he came for Christmas and I saw him, when he came back, there just seemed like there was a calmness about him.
It's all
him.
Fake.
Is it just fucking fake? He's a
knot. Poor guy.
All wound up. Is that what you're saying?
That's all he does. Day and night, day and night. I never, ever want to be a director. That's just the hardest job ever.
Because you got to worry about everything.
It's 24/7, dude. Even if you sleep, it's a miracle. Because you're constantly thinking about the other actors, their scenes, the relationships, the sets, the lenses, and all kinds of crap.
I was just offered to direct a movie, and now I don't think I want to after hearing you say this.
Dude, it is hard. Unless you're willing to give 24/7 all in. If you're okay with that.
I directed a feature, and I was the lead in it. It was the biggest mistake of my life, because it was just too hard.
No,
it's... But directing it alone is enough.
Yeah.
Everybody was telling me, Gunn was like, what are you doing? Don't be the lead in it. He was like, I'm almost dead at the end of these fucking things.
No, it's tough. It's really, really, it's unbelievably brutal on your psyche and on your, just like, you have to deal with everybody else's problems.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with that. Definitely not.
I don't want to deal with your problems.
No.
I don't even want to know your problems.
I don't think you want to deal with your own problems.
Okay. I don't want to deal with my own problems, true, right? Why would I want to,
Why do I want to deal with your problems
and your problems? You two got a scene together. Do your stupid scene, man. I'm not going to direct you. I'm going to sit back and watch your scene. If I believe your scene, then we'll move on. If I don't believe your scene, if you're giving me bullshit, then I'm going to smack you upside the head.
There you go.
There.
That's how you direct.
That's my directing style.
Guardians 3 is going to happen. Do you think you're going to be in it for any reason?
No, why? I'm dead.
Will they bring you back as a different character?
My character's dead.
Can you play something else?
I would play something else. I would play something else, but I wouldn't want to. Why would I want to play Yondu? Yondu had a wonderful, most amazing send-off that you would ever want in cinematic Marvel history. My God, dude, why do you want to spoil that by bringing the character back now?
Yeah.
With Gunn. There's consequences when you die. You're supposed to stay dead.
There's no consequences when you die. You're dead.
Yeah, you're dead. What the hell are you coming back for? Why are they bringing all these schmucks back? Give me a break.
Yeah, I don't like that
Move on.
It's like everybody's
get another
dead.
Movie.
That's the thing I don't like about a lot of movies. It's like, you know, everybody's like, everybody dies at the end. I was like, yeah, come on, who's dead?
Hey, look, I don't mind if everybody dies as long as I'm doing the killing.
That's
all right?
True. By the way, in Sea of Love, we talked about in the beginning, that scene, you have to see Sea of Love. But there's this scene.
That's a great scene.
Where
great.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't
all
remember it, but I watched
great.
It. But you with Pacino, you're beating the shit out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
get on him.
Yeah.
From behind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know that you came up with this because it wasn't written.
Oh, I'm going to rape him like I'm going to take his clothes off.
You think he raped.
I'm going to rape him and kill him.
Because you think he raped someone you loved.
Yeah.
And you are now on top of him. When I see this, you're not, obviously you're clothed, but you're beating the shit out of him. And he's got him. He's beating the shit out of him. And then he acts just like he's grinding him at the end. I was like, fuck, that was your choice, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the director didn't say, Rooker, can you act like you're fucking Al?
The lines give you your hints. Your lines.
What was the line? Do you remember the line?
The line was,
what did you do to her?
Show me what you did to her. Yeah, show me how you did it. You know? And as I'm ripping his clothes off and I'm about to rape this guy and then kill him, blow his brains out, right? And so in the meantime, he grabs the little
he clocks
thing.
You in the head
trophy
with it.
Yeah. Clocks me in the head, and then the fight's on, right?
A dumbbell or something.
Yeah, it was a trophy. It was a shooting trophy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, trophy.
And he hits me in the head, and I go back, and then we worked out with the stunt guys, and with him, we both did a lot of our own stuff.
How long did that take to choreograph that scene? And how long did it take to shoot it?
Took about a day, a full day.
And by the way, was Al great to work with?
Yeah, I thought he was great to work with. We understood each other really crystal clear after the first take.
How so?
Well, the first take, he tried choking me out.
Like, really?
Like, really?
It hurt.
Like, really?
And then what'd you do?
I did what I was supposed to do in the scene, which was spin around and launch my 210-pound frame with him on my back into the wall.
And you did it?
Of course
I did. A little harder, a little extra hard?
I did it the way you're supposed to do it.
Did you hurt him?
I think we were both hurting at that point.
And did he say, hey, sorry about that?
No, he looked up to me after he fell from my back and his arms left my neck. He looked up at me and said, you don't see the choking too hard? Am I?
He said that.
He said,
hey, Michael, am I choking you too hard?
Am I too hard? And I go, did I too hard? And he goes,
that was it?
That was it. We understood each other crystal clear.
But you weren't going to stop that scene. You're like, Al Pacino's choking me and I'm not going to stop.
No.
Let him choke me.
No, if I stopped, I would have been taken out. He would have put me to sleep.
It's the most intense scene.
It sounds like a lighthearted romp.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I totally would have been put to sleep. I was going out. I was seeing nothing but black, 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 black.
Was there any kind of conversation where you guys talked? Did you talk a lot? Or did you just do your work?
The only thing, we talked a little bit, but we were both into the scene. And when I was on him, on top of him, and we were in between takes, I remember him saying, Rooker, could you lighten up a little bit? Oh, yeah.
That's what he said?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I was just resting on it. I was like this, and I was just like waiting for the scene to be ready for it to cut again. I'm just hanging out on Al Pacino. me and Al Pacino spooning, and I'm the top guy, okay?
Hey, Rooker, that's enough.
And he finally goes, could you let up a little bit? It was like, I was 210 pounds at that time, almost all muscle. And I was like, oh my God, yes, of course.
Did you go to the premiere?
And I realized.
Did you go to the premiere for it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he come up to you and go, hey, great job in there, great job.
Dude, we both did a great job. It was a wonderful sequence.
But he's pleasant to work with. He knew his lines. Was he?
Oh, he's great.
When you were working with him, because he's known as one of the best actors in the history of.
Yeah, he's great to work with.
Did he always know his shit inside out? And he was just. Like his work ethic, what did you notice about that work ethic with Al Pacino?
It was no different than the energy he puts into his work was no different than the energy I put into my work, or the energy that any actor would put into their work to make sure that they do it. I don't know if this is true, but my goal is to do the scene once and then move on.
I wish that was the case.
It can be the case. All you got to do is have 3 or 4 cameras. That's what we did on the rooftop scene in The Walking Dead. When I'm chained to the rooftop, they had 5 cameras going all at the same time. We did it 2 takes, and that was it. We moved on.
Yeah, most of the time, no matter how good you are, they want another and another and another and a tighter and a tighter and a middle.
You all got it in one.
Right, right.
You got the camera that's doing the tight. You got the camera that's doing the wide. You got the camera that's up top. You got the camera, you got the point of view. You got the wide angle. You got all these cameras going at the same time, right? Now, as the actor, if you can do the scene like that scene on the rooftop and do it the way it's supposed to be done, and yet know exactly where your cameras are, then you're golden. And that's what I did.
You are good at it, by the way. You're great at it.
I don't like to say that I'm a technical actor, but I'm very technical. I can be very technical at the same time, completely opposite, you know?
Raw.
Doing your raw and in the scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yet still know
where you need to be.
When and where that close-up camera is.
Right,
and
you know where to go.
And when and where I need to turn and all that.
Does Mrs. Rooker ever look at you and say, she sees a movie and she goes, I thought you were really wonderful in that. Does she tell you those things?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people do.
Well, your wife, does she watch the things you do?
Of course she does, yeah.
Does she ever tell you anything about it? Does that mean something to you when you hear her say?
She goes, yeah, you were good.
That's it? That's all she says? Come on. Your family members, do they feel like they always say, hey,
I think they respect my work. They know that I'm an artist before I'm an actor, before I'm an art, any other art form, any other medium, I'm an artist, no matter what.
What would you do if you didn't act?
I'd have a different medium. I'm an artist.
All right, this is shit talking questions from my patrons. It's on Patreon.
You got patrons?
Yep, these are shit talking questions. Shit talking with Rosenbaum. These are you can answer them quickly. Robert B.
All my answers are quick.
Robert B.
Except for all the shit that I just said.
Robert B. says, do you have any favorite whiskey drink?
Yeah.
What?
He didn't ask that.
What is it if I asked?
Oh, what is it? I like Jack and Coke.
I do too. That's a Southern that's a thing. I like it, a little Jack and Diet. Little Jack and Diet.
Diet Coke. Oh, okay.
Just the taste. I think I got it. Yeah. Jack
and
Coke.
I like regular Coke, two limes, and yeah.
Nico P., have you always been so energetic?
I don't see myself as energetic, but I've always been like this.
By the way, nobody could sleep like you. Nobody could sleep like you. You will sleep on a set during a scene. You will fall asleep anywhere. Is that true?
I can sleep anywhere, anytime. I can sleep right now.
That's why you're still alive.
If I close my eyes, I can go to sleep within a minute.
I think you're asleep right now.
I could.
Jill E., what was it like working on Mallrats?
It was fun.
Okay. Thank you. Lisa, just wondering if he can ever look at a chocolate-covered pretzel the same way if he still eats them.
I do. I love them.
What's that from?
Mallrats.
Oh, it is? It's the same thing?
The chocolate-covered pretzels? When they stink palm me?
Yeah. Jerry W., I'm curious what's expected of professional actors when it comes to memorizing. We already talked about memorizing lines.
Yeah.
How many pages per day are you expected to commit to memorizing for filming? We've already talked about that, Jerry W.
Yeah, that's a stupid question.
It's a great question, but we answered it. Jerry W., you got Rooker to say that, though. You're going to like that.
Yeah.
Brian H., how did you prepare for his role as Henry? We talked about this in the last podcast.
Yeah, and I said my answer was there was no preparation at all needed.
And did the role affect you in any way? It started your career, didn't it?
Yes.
I love how you looked to Ryan. Ryan? Right.
I know. Ryan's sitting here next to me, and when I say there's no preparation, have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. It's great. That's what started his career. That was his break, and he was it was scary.
I love saying that to people because then they just stop. And they're
I'm sorry. I should know that.
Oh, wait a minute. And then I ask, you need a ride home?
Yeah. Lucas M., I loved you in Slither. Gun directed it. What is your favorite or most memorable role to date and why? Your most memorable role. You loved you in Slither, but what's your most memorable role to date that you just love, that you're like, that's the one I'll go down for. That's the one I love.
You know, I have to say that the rooftop scene in was amazing.
Walking Dead.
I can't say one. It's really tough to say
one. But that's the first
one
that came on.
The first one that came to mind was that one. But also the second one is the moment when I take Chris Pratt's head and his face in my hands. You know?
Yeah.
During Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment. And
you got emotional for real.
Well, you...
How do you not?
How can you not? Yeah. You don't plan on stuff like that. I don't plan on stuff like that. If it happens, it happens.
Did you do any takes where you actually cried, where Gunn wanted you to cry, but then didn't use it?
I don't ever do that. If some director says that to me, I tell them, go fuck off.
Don't say cry.
You know, don't say anything. I don't know what's going to happen in the scene.
Ooh.
Give me a break. How do I know what's going to happen in the scene?
It says cry.
I haven't done the scene. I don't care what the script says. Cry?
It says cry on page 3.
It's stupid when they do that. That's stage direction.
The reality is this. I will say this, Rooker. People always try not to cry in real life.
Yeah.
The reality is people try not to cry.
Crying is not the goal. Should never be the goal as an actor. If you're more apt to shed a tear if you try not to.
Tom, who woke you up after the filming
Yondu? One tear, that's all you get, Rooker.
Tom says, who woke you up after filming Yondu's funeral scene? Who woke you up?
Which time? I went to sleep about 5 or 6 times.
Was it Gunn on the microphone?
We did about 5 or 6 takes.
Michael?
No, I can sleep and still know what's going on.
That's crazy. You can be asleep and still know what's going on. Subconsciously,
as soon as the cut was cut, I wake up. As soon as they said
action.
He's a robot.
He's a fucking machine.
As soon as he said action, within, I don't know, 10 seconds or so, I was sleeping.
Joshua H., what actress or actor you didn't know before filming Guardians impressed you the most after working with them? Somebody came to mind.
Chris Pratt.
You didn't really know him.
I didn't know him.
And then he blew you away.
Yeah, yeah, I loved him. I loved him. He was great. A really hard worker. And he did an awesome job, man. He's a star.
Janelle asks, what are your best and worst memories about filming The Walking Dead? Well, we talked a lot about that.
Yeah, best and worst memories. Best memories are,
the camaraderie. Lunch.
Yeah, the lunches.
Hanging out.
Lunches were great.
The food was good.
Food was good.
The bad thing was they were cheap and didn't pay you shit, right?
The bad thing was that you were dealing with the environment. It is so hot. It is so miserable in the summertime, running around dirty and filthy, trying to do a scene. And they weren't that cheap. They paid what they could afford at that period in time,
Raj, last question. Have you ever had any funny, crazy interactions with Stallone between your time on Cliffhanger and Guardians? Well, I remember in Guardians 2 when he was like, couldn't get the line. Like, what's the line?
No, that wasn't even the best time. For me and him, it was me and him. I may post it. It was me and him taking selfies of each other as standing together like this. We were standing together like this. And we're taking selfies of each other, yet it looked like we're taking selfies of ourselves. It's like our egos were so right out there. Yeah. It looked as the way the angle was, it looked as if I'm taking a picture of myself and he's taking a picture of himself, but we're actually taking two selfies at the same time.
Do you want to, do you think you'll act for the rest of your life? Is that what you want to do? You think you'll act till you'll die? Like when you're 80, 90, you're still, you think you'll ever quit?
Did you put a number on it?
Do you think you're ever going to take the Airstream and go do your thing and say, forget about me, I'm done, I've done it, I've done everything, I'm done?
No, I haven't done everything. I have hardly even scratched the surface. One day, there will be someone who will hire me in a role that we not only scratch the surface, but we fucking blow it up.
So you still haven't played that role?
No, I have not.
In your head, that is beyond like you're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to.
I haven't played the role.
Really? Henry, Yondu.
No.
All these other fucking crazy roles.
No.
Not even scratch the surface.
I don't think so.
Do you think it's going to be a bad guy, a bad character, or it's going to be an emotional? Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe a little of all of that.
You want to do comedy?
I'm not a very funny guy.
I think you are, though.
You'd have to pay me a lot of money to be funny.
You're funny right now. See, if you just kept this face with me right now.
Yeah. See, we could do Mutt and Jeff. You can be funny if you want, but I'm not going to be funny.
But that's what's funny.
That's what's funny.
So you are funny.
We'll do a little stand-up if you want.
Would you ever
go
do stand-up? What's
ahead.
The one thing that scares you?
Yeah, nothing.
That you wouldn't do. Stand-up comedy, you do it? You get on stage and do stand-up.
Of course.
You would?
Yeah, sure.
Swim with sharks?
No, I don't swim with sharks.
Would you?
I don't swim anywhere where I'm not head of the food chain. Do you?
I did swim with sharks. No, I didn't. I was in a cage.
You know who swims with sharks?
Idiots.
Pretty much.
Shark bait. how far do you live from me? Because you're going to go back in your new truck.
I was about 40 minutes away.
And what do you listen to when you're quiet?
I just signed up for that radio.
Sirius?
Sirius Radio, yeah. The truck had, it still had about 3 months of a trial.
Right, and you liked it.
I didn't have it on the whole way across the country, because I didn't want to stop driving to pull over and take the time.
Right.
I was just driving and having fun driving.
You listen to country music?
I listen to a lot of stuff. I listen to country. I like blues. I like jazz. I like
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I like gospel.
Really?
I like bluegrass.
That's all Alabama shit there, isn't it?
I love all that stuff.
All the Alabama stuff.
Yeah, I love all that stuff.
Dude, this has been great. Did you have fun? We didn't talk about really anything that we did the first time. It's just fun. It's just two guys talking.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the theme of your show here?
No.
Two guys talking about nothing. Two guys talking about nothing.
No, it was, you know, I like this because you're a,
I think that should be your theme from now on, because when you start and try to talk about something, it sounds stupid.
Like what?
I mean, when your other shows, the ones without me, all the other shows.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Hey, by the way, as you can see around here, I get autographs from some posters and shit. Yes. I like it. You know, some people get me them. Sometimes I have a guest and I'm like, oh, I have a Karate Kid.
Right.
Do you think it's A, do you think it's weird? And B, would you
want me to get you one? Which one would you want of my?
Probably Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Henry? I mean, that's where it all started. Henry.
I got.
You have a Henry poster?
I have a Henry poster for your ass.
Really?
That will blow you away. It is so amazing. And the designer of this poster, he only did like 40 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll give me one and sign it?
Yeah.
I'll put it up in here?
I'll give you one and sign it for you.
Fuck yeah. You hear that, Ryan? Do you think it's weird for actors to get autographs from other actors?
No, I do sometimes.
Who do you do? What do you get?
Whoever I have time for.
So who?
If there's a moment in the shoot that I have time.
Pacino, when you're on his back grinding him, did you say, hey, can I get, you know, hey, I'll give you an autograph after the scene.
I'll give you an autograph after the scene.
Did you get a picture of an autograph?
Let me just finish.
What'd you do? Did you sign? He didn't sign anything for you. Who signed?
God, Stallone? No, dude. Stallone? That's you. Don't be sick, okay?
Well, who did? Whose autograph did you get?
We're doing a great scene. That was a great scene. That was a scary scene, dude.
It was intense.
Didn't you think that was scary?
Beyond intense. It was so intense that I had forgotten about it, that I was watching it, and Jess was on the other side on our computer going, I didn't need to even see that fucking scene. That's how intense it was. That's what she said.
Very, very intense. Incredible.
That had to be in your reel for many years.
Very intense scene, yeah.
So whose autograph have you gotten?
I don't even do a reel anymore.
I know, Avi, you don't need one.
Do you do a reel?
I don't have a reel anymore. I have a reel from years ago.
But I wouldn't mind doing a reel. I like doing my reels.
Because you have a lot of great stuff.
I enjoyed editing my reels.
You edited your reels.
Yeah, I did all my editing.
So this is when I was great. I want to do this. By the way, couldn't hurt if somebody's like, Michael Rooker, oh yeah, I've seen the guy, blah, blah, blah. But when you put True Detective a moment, you put Yondu, and you put fucking... Yeah. You know, not maybe, I don't know about Fantasy Island because I haven't seen it, but, you know, maybe the outtakes
Fast
where you're
Furious
dying
9.
Of heat exhaustion.
No, I'm in Fast and Furious 9. I'm in the Suicide Squad, right?
Suicide Squad. All these things. And Henry, it's like, God, this guy could do everything. I'm hiring this guy.
Yeah, you would hope.
Well, that's what's happened. Well, all right, so what autographs?
Yeah, no, I've worked a lot. I've been very, very happy and very pleased.
You're grateful.
With what's been... I've been blessed at getting a chance to do. Yeah. So one day, maybe.
What autograph do you have at home that you asked another actor for an autograph? Name a couple or any.
Oh. I got an autograph from Studs Terkel.
Studs Terkel?
You know, Studs Terkel. He's a writer, Chicago writer.
No.
Yeah.
I should know that.
Remember the movie 8 Men Out?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. He played one of the reporters.
And you got an autograph
from
him?
With John Sayles, yeah. He's a great writer. Look at his.
I will. I should know that. I'm pretty ignorant with a lot of things.
Yeah.
But so you would get an autograph.
He's not an actor.
Do you wish you would have had Pacino's autograph or no?
You know what? I actually honestly don't think a lot about it. And then once the movie's over,
like,
and
fuck,
we're,
why didn't I do
and
that?
And then I said, oh man, I should have gotten an autograph.
Like, how about, you know, I should have had the whole cast sign a Guardians poster.
Yeah. They do that. You know,
you can get that though. You know, you can get one.
We do that.
Yeah. But why don't you get one? You know, it's funny.
They
always
promise if they're going to get you one and they never do.
By the way, let me tell you something. You can get yourself an autographed Guardians poster.
You can?
Yeah.
How?
Do you want me to just get you one?
Where are you going to get it?
I'm going to call the director of the movie, who's one of our best friends.
Does he have some store?
I'm sure if someone's going to have a poster, they'll give it to you that's signed by everybody, and you put it in your rec room.
I don't have one.
All right.
I'll get you a Henry. I'll get you a Henry. You get me a Guardians.
I'm getting one of the lead roles, one of the biggest roles in Guardians. I'm going to get him a poster of his own movie. I love you. Thank you for coming here today.
Man.
Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you again.
Good deal.
Amazing interview. I really love talking to the guy, and he's a lot of fun. I have to remind him that I've had back surgeries because he likes to tackle me and put me in headlocks and
things like that. I love going to conventions with him and seeing him there. It's just a he's like I am with my fans, very affectionate and loud and fun and just vocal. He is that way, and so we have a lot of fun together. And like we meet up with Sean Gunn, my good buddy Sean. All right, let's give a shout out real quick to the top tier patrons. Before that, I'd like to tell you that hopefully, if this is all good by October, well, July 2nd, remember, Austin North Door back-to-back live podcast inside of you. Zach Levi is the guest. Hopefully that continues. That will be on July 2nd if all is said and done, all is well. And then so much else. I mean, there's a lot of conventions if those come back later in the year. And what else I want to share with you? Oh, I'm still planning on doing Camp Rosie. I know I've said it. There's no links out there, but there's not going to be many tickets, but it's Halloween weekend, October 30th, October 31st, those two nights. It's like you're at summer camp. You are at summer camp, but you're an adult. And there's costumes at night, costume parties. We have a Halloween one, of course. We have 80s. We have a DJ. We're going to have, it's all you could drink, all you could eat for the weekend, gluten-free stuff, healthy stuff, along with kickball, dodgeball, capture the flag, all that stuff. It's going to be so much fun. My friends will be there. So make sure you're on top of it and check with my social media and listen to the podcast. And because that once that link goes up, you know, there's only going to be like 150 tickets. And I guarantee 50 of them are going to be my friends and another 50 are going to be my patrons. And the other 50 are you. I don't know who I was doing right there. Macho Man Savage. Here are the top tier patrons. I couldn't do this show without them because right now they're supplying the goods. They're amidst this tough time. I like the word amidst, but they're pledging money. They're helping out the podcast. Their choice. And they've decided to do that, which is wonderful. So I appreciate that. So check out Patreon if you haven't. Here we go. Allison L, Andrew C, Angelina G, Barry I, you've been around. I always F your name up because I see this one line. It's Barry I. If it's not, you're going to hate me. All of a sudden, I see deleted patron Barry I or Barry L. Bob B, Bob R, Vortex, Brian H, Chris, CJP, Emily K, Emily S, Hamza B, Jake M, Jason D, Jason W, Jennifer S. Hi, Jennifer S. Jerry W, Jerry, Jilly, Joshua D, Catherine M, Kevin R, Kimberly E, Lauren G, Leah S, or Lee, whatever you want, Sister Christian. Mark A, Melissa R, Mike E, Nancy D, Neil W, Nico P, Raj. I got to talk to Raj on Instagram Live. He's got more toys than I do. Ream. I'll ream you out, man. Robert B. Old Robert B. Samantha M. Sarah V. Stacy B. Tabitha. Tiana. Trisha. Vanessa in the sky. And yours truly, everybody, Yukiko. I love Yukiko. What am I doing? You know what else I'm doing? If you go on Zoom, they have this thing where you can share the screen. And I like to, with all my friends, show them an old, my favorite clip from SNL. They could show me funny stuff and we kind of share it. And by the way, tweet me and Instagram me any movies or documentaries I should watch. Horror, I like horror, but I've probably seen it all. There was a movie I saw called The Platform. Did you guys see that? Platform? Really good on Netflix. So it's free if you have Netflix. Well, I guess you're paying it monthly, but... Anyway, I can't thank you guys enough for the support you've given me for this podcast. And anything you could do, remember the podcast is free. So anything you could do, if you're enjoying it and you get something out of it, these guests open up, they talk about their anxieties, their depressions, all these things that are so important. I'm going to try and get some health people on here. And what do you guys think? I mean, I'm going to have to Zoom some guests soon if this keeps going, because I have a couple more guests in the can, as they call it. But what do you think? Would you still watch it if it was on Zoom? It would be on this, still on the YouTube channel and Spotify, but I'd have to Zoom some guests. But I get it doesn't matter. You listen to Jensen Ackles. He was on there. There you have it. But I love all the support. Thank you so much. And a big shout out to a random shout out to Brandy Edie, who does all my merch. I think I'm wearing it right now. Yeah, Left on Laurel hat. She made the hats. She makes a lot of the shirts. She does a lot of stuff, and I couldn't do it without her. It's the Inside of You online store. You can get Left on Laurel merch and Inside of You merch. We're coming out with new t-shirts, too, that I'm designing, or I'm having this guy design. If you like the blue ones, we're trying to do something different. Again, I don't know what to say. Thank you for the support. I love you all. Keep tuning in. Please tell your friends. Force them to watch it. Grab their phone. Subscribe. You know, got to keep this going, man. I really love it. And I hope you do. So thank you for allowing me to get inside all of you. And I miss Ryan. I miss him sitting here right now. If you can see it, it's just a pair of cans. That didn't sound right. It's a set of cans. That didn't sound right either. It's headphones that are resting on this couch. So get over it. That's about it. I love you so much. Thank you. I mean it. Be safe, be healthy, be happy, laugh, be busy, exercise. All right, I'm gonna fuck off now. Thanks.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.